How's it going, everybody? Appreciate you tuning in. On this episode, Nick and I are going to be talking about some of the common early season mistakes that we make. Once you've hunted turkeys for a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks, you start to tighten up your strategy and don't make the same mistakes that you may make earlier in the season. So in this episode, we're trying to cover some of those common mistakes and what we start thinking about as we get closer to the season to hopefully prevent those mistakes. Some years were better than others, and we don't have to relearn those mistakes the hard way, but other times we go in and just forget the lessons that we've learned before, and that's just never fun. So hopefully this podcast will help you guys have a little bit better success when you first start this season. If your season hasn't started yet and you're looking for a red dot for your turkey gun, I'd like to suggest the Vortex Defender ST. A bunch of us are shooting that this season, and what a lot of us like about this red dot specifically is it's got a big sight window that helps you never lose sight of the turkey that's coming in. It's also durable and will hold up to anything that the hunt throws your way. Red dots are cool because they allow you to shoot in awkward positions where just shooting a bead may not be as forgiving. So if you have a red dot, it doesn't really matter what angle you're holding the gun. As long as you can see that red dot, the pattern's gonna hit exactly where the dot is when you pull the trigger. So if you get caught off guard and a turkey comes in at an odd angle and you gotta shift your body into a strange position, as long as you can get that dot on him, you'll be able to make the shot. The other cool thing about the Defender ST is that you can mount it low enough on your gun that when you shoulder the gun, it feels more just like a scope on a rifle. Some of the red dots that I've seen on other people's guns in the past are mounted really high up, and one of the things that I really like about this Defender is that when you pull it up, it just feels more natural. The other benefit of having a low profile red dot is that the closer that dot is to your barrel, the easier it is to know that your barrel's clear when you're trying to make a shot. One mistake that can be made with a higher mounted red dot is your sight picture might be clear through the red dot, but your barrel might be obstructed. So even though when you pull the trigger, it looks like your dot's clear, your barrel might be obstructed, which can throw off your shot. So I like a low profile red dot, and that Defender ST is exactly that. The best part is you can save 10% by using code THP10 at checkout at eurooptic.com. Also, if you check the description of this podcast, we've got a link over to our website, thehuntingpublic.com, and there you can find our Spring Turkey Tour collection, which includes a bunch of camo. We've got things like the leafy jacket that a lot of us wear. We've got the face mask from Natural Gear. We also have our vest on there. We have turkey calls. So we appreciate you listening, and thanks for all the support. We're podcasting on the road, and we're going to talk turkey hunting. We've been turkey hunting for, I've only been turkey hunting for 2 days. Nick, how many days have you been out?
5.
So Nick's seen one turkey go down, but I guess up to this point, we've both only filmed youth hunters, right?
Yep.
And all on private land?
Yep.
So we're on our way to do something different. We're going to hunt public land starting tomorrow.
As so, adults.
Yes, as adults. But it was fun to hunt with youth hunters. I did have a blast with that. It's fun to just see kids get excited about it. And I mean, your memories are also hilarious of watching Thompson shoot that turkey. Yep. And belly flop on it. We were both excited at that age, and we're really excited about going with our dads and stuff like that. But also just getting to see experiences that lead to lessons learned. That's a really fun thing to me too. It makes you appreciate the things that you have learned over the years. Mm-hmm. And how it's like, oh yeah, I remember when that happened to me, and you know, I started to think about things differently after that. You get to watch those things happen, and it's pretty cool to see. But I guess to start off this podcast, it's easiest probably to talk about my experience hunting this morning, and just to kind of get the ball rolling, and starting with the focus of what do you do when the turkeys aren't talking very much at any point in the season, but maybe more specifically early in the season. So we're going to be talking about private land, but these are all things that apply to public land as well.
Of course.
So this morning we went out and it was a little bit foggy. There was a lot of moisture in the air. It was almost raining because the fog was so dense. and it just didn't feel like a real great gobbling morning. But yesterday...
Oh, look at that. Jake just found.
That's crazy. I think part of why I'm looking for sheds so much, too, is I'm tired of Jake finding more than me.
He's already found the two coolest sheds. Yeah.
Weather yesterday was pretty much a downpour from, what, about noon until 4?
Yeah.
And then it got clear. So going into the morning, we knew that any tracks that we saw that were fresh were going to have been probably from 4 till dark last night. So we were walking in to the spot that we were going to listen from, and on the way to that high point, I looked down and I saw tracks that were in that time frame. They were after the rain yesterday. So you knew they were fresh. You knew there was a Tom in the area that was, like, for sure still alive and around. And I had never hunted this area before. So we were on our buddy Thrash's property, and he's had experiences in there, but I had not. And right away, I remember thinking to myself, like, man, this is something that I've seen in the past, and in the past, if I'm not hearing a turkey, I would just keep blasting through. But over the last couple of seasons, I've started to realize, especially when conditions are tough, like in the early season or even in the late season when maybe things have slowed down, if you're finding sign that's telling you there's definitely one around, those are the times where I try my best to be patient. And what ended up happening is we moved up, got to that high point, and we heard a turkey way off. We heard a hen yelp fairly close to us, but there was no response from a gobbler. So we started working our way out towards that gobbler, and then we busted turkeys out of the tree. Never confirmed what they were. Honestly, it did kind of seem like they were small turkeys, but who's to say? I don't really think anybody, any of us are trying to say we definitely know what those were. You hope that they're hens, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I really remember thinking, well, moving forward, if I'm on a piece of public land where I know there hasn't been a ton of pressure and there's a track that's indicating that they're that close by, I'm going to proceed with more caution in those situations, or just hang out.
Yeah.
And, like, just stay on that high point and continue to listen. Give it maybe even a couple of hours before I keep moving, or at least be sure that more turkeys have flown down. And I'm not saying that, like, we did anything wrong necessarily. We ended up having a really good hunt back in there further. But just using past experiences and relating it to this experience, it just seems like when you've got a really fresh track like that, that's when it's time to, like, really slow down. That's hard for me.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason that I even bring this up is I just think it's something that's taken, it's been a process to get to that point where I can even say, like, hey, you probably should slow down. I'm not saying I do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't do it today, but it's just something that, yeah, I guess time and time again proves to be worthwhile, because at some point he's going to end up there. Because he was there yesterday, he's probably going to be really close. And when I say there, I don't necessarily mean, like, on that same track.
Yeah.
But he's probably going to be within earshot to hear your call or whatever.
And I feel like that's also, like, it's harder to slow yourself down in that situation, I think, when you're hunting an area you're extremely familiar with.
Yep.
And you've got knowledge of saying they always roost back down over this ridge on the other side in this bottom. They always roost there, and that you can get caught up in thinking, knowing to yourself, they're always over there, but maybe this is that one random night because of the thunderstorm, they got in a limb early and they jumped up in the limb 400 or 500 yards this way, closer to where you're at now instead of where they usually are. So you kind of go blowing through there thinking they're gonna be where you think they always are, but instead there was some closer because of some extenuating circumstance made them do that.
That's a good point. I really did never think about, even yesterday too with the rain, maybe they've been in a tree since, you know, middle of the afternoon when it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
You know, they might have just not went to their typical roosting locations down closer to the creek bottoms, because they were up pretty high in elevation compared to where thrash has seen them roost more frequently. And I think the biggest thing with the sign is if there's a tom track or a tom sign there, that's just something that's really, really worth keying in on. To me, that's almost as good as a gobble, and I know that I've mentioned that in previous podcasts, but a fresh tom track is as good as it gets, other than one blasting off every couple of minutes or whatever. Yeah. It's like, he's here right now. And another good example of that, without knowing the details of something that's happening as we're driving right now, is Jake and Ted are hunting in an area where they saw tracks, what, yesterday? Aaron and Greg found tracks.
Yeah, Warb and Greg found tracks in there yesterday, older tracks from before the rain.
Yeah.
Jake and Ted went in there this afternoon, and they found fresh tracks since the rain.
Yeah.
So,
and then they ended up hearing gobbles, right? Or did they not hear gobbles yet?
The last time I talked to them, they hadn't.
Okay. But confirming that they're still in there.
There
are
turkeys in there and close.
Yeah.
They just haven't been able to either see them or put ears on them yet.
And sometimes, as much as, you know, guys that are Iowa license plate, as much as guys like me especially, I know I'm this way, don't want to play the patient game, sometimes it's good to just revisit those areas and kind of hang loose. Find a time that, you know, maybe you have a little bit easier time hanging out, like midday, mid-morning, late afternoon. I was telling Thrash today, something that I've realized over the years works good for me is I can be much more patient in the late afternoon, evening time, because I've had a long day, get up early, sun's shining, it's nice and warm, it's not getting that warm up. Those are the types of places I want to go back to and hang out during that time, because I know I can be patient. I can sit still in a setup and trust it. And then another thing that's really nice about areas like that going into the late evening is a lot of times, even if they don't gobble, if you get calm conditions, there's a dang good chance you're going to hear a turkey fly up, which may, again, even if they don't gobble, put you that much closer with a step in the right direction to getting on one that is.
Yeah.
Having leads this time of the year is the probably the biggest key to success, I would say, in our experiences as a group.
Yeah, it's like me and Warb were talking about it before we left. Just every hour you spend out there, your odds go up exponentially.
Yes.
With every hour that you're out there gaining some sort of knowledge of the area in that moment as it is right then, not as the knowledge you have on it from two seasons ago or the season prior, but in that moment, at that time, what is that area like? What are the turkeys doing? Where are they? Every hour you're out there, you're better off.
Yeah.
So just got to be out there.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that you bring up the, you know, experience with an area, because I've realized through many of hunting conversations, that's not really something that I have that often. I don't really have a place that I go back to super frequently.
Yeah.
So I don't have tons of history where, you know, like Jake hunting some old stomping grounds back around where he grew up, you hunting, you know, places that you've hunted for your whole hunting career, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are examples of places where you're really starting to get a, well, this one time I saw this. You're having tons and tons of those thoughts while you're out there, where, I mean, that's one advantage of going into places blind or going into new places, is you kind of just go into it with the same mentality of like, okay, first step is hopefully I hear one from a good spot to listen from. Next step is hopefully I can come across some sign that's confirming there's one here, even if I don't hear a gobble, and then, you know, so on and so on. But when you've got all these prior experiences, it does at times trick you a little bit. Talk about that one that you were just mentioning to me a minute ago.
Yeah, the getting, like you were saying with the track, you see the track where you got out and parked, you know it's from the last couple hours of daylight, so you know a gobbler was in that spot close to dark.
Mm-hmm.
and you could go past them or bump turkeys on a limb. Last year, me and Jake and Ted were scouting at my deer lease and hog hunting a couple days before the season opened, and we were walking out of the woods back to the truck, and we're just kind of, in my mind, we're getting away from where the turkeys roost every day, in my mind. And we're just kind of bumbling through the brush, just getting out of there because it's about dark. And we look up, and 60 yards away from us, in the top of a little, you know, scrub oak tree, is a longbeard roosted where we've never seen turkeys roost in 20 years of hunting this place. Never, not once have we ever heard a turkey right there, seen them. I mean, we've killed them right there, but this turkey was anywhere from 200 to 600 yards away from where they typically roost. Mm-hmm. So that was just like, in my brain, it's like, dang, how many times have I, you know, because we'll drive right by that spot when we go in and hunt in the morning, and it's like, in our brains we'll be going, okay, all these turkeys are roosted 600 yards away. So we don't have to be standing right there, you know, they're not going to be on us as soon as they hit the ground, so we can go in a little late. How many times have we driven past some of those oak trees, not paying attention right at gobble time, and blown turkeys off of limbs?
Yep.
You know? Yep. So it makes me think, maybe I should be parking a lot further away, because now these jokers could be anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, about hunting this morning. Like, we took a golf cart in, and that's something I've never done before. So all of a sudden, we're doing it, and it's like, oh, man, I never do that. So it just feels like what you're saying, that we could just be driving past all this stuff, but I also don't have the experience there. Like, I honestly could jump out of the truck and, or, you know, leave the house, is what we did, leave the house, and rather than, you know, go to a place where we're going to hear a turkey more than likely, I could spend a whole morning, if I was there hunting it by myself, just bumbling around in a place where turkeys don't really ever hang out.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's two sides to it, there's benefits, but yeah, I think about that a lot, of just how many times do you just blast past something because you're, and it happens on public land too. I've thought about all the time, like, I get to a lot of areas and I just immediately want to go back in there, and I know there's times when I'm going right past stuff that I could probably just hear from the road and then hunt my way back into those places. But also interesting how consistent the gobble patterns have been over the years, starting in, you know, the early part of the season. It's like March 15th-ish is generally when we're starting, and it seems like every season it's the same old story. Yeah, they're gobbling a little bit, and then they fly down and it's quiet. And it seems like the majority of the time when we have success, there's this progression. In this first week of the season, or in the early, early season, because as time goes on, this changes a little bit more as the gobbling frequency goes up across the country. The turkeys will gobble a little bit on the roost. If you're lucky, that's lead one.
Mm-hmm.
Lead two is you go scout and find where they were hanging out right after they were gobbling.
Yeah.
So now you got like two clues. Clue number three is generally we're in there for an evening hunt and are set up close to that roost site. Most times don't hear one gobble on the roost, but sometimes do.
Yeah.
Hopefully you hear something fly up or hear a gobble and have, you know, a lead for the next morning. And then it's, you know, after all those steps, now you're just in the game.
Yeah.
You still aren't guaranteed by any means that you're going to get that turkey, but to me it just seems that that's kind of a progression that happens early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing that I want to focus on this time of the year is really taking note of that sign, covering ground to find the sign to confirm that they're there, and then when those puppies are gobbling, get after them.
Mm-hmm.
The best turkey hunting that, like, I do, I feel like that's when I'm just super aggressive. As soon as he starts gobbling like that, don't let him have the opportunity to shut up at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Go be aggressive and either get him or, like, get dang close before he shuts up like that. Just be super aggressive and keep moving forward, I think, because they are hard to call in when they're still going through that pecking order. Like, two mornings ago, there was turkeys gobbling on the roost 100 yards from us, 120 yards from us, maybe. and they were going pretty dang good. And it felt like they were gonna come in. Reed, who was one of the youth hunters that I was with, and his brother, Luke, they're 11 and 9. Mm-hmm. Reed was doing the calling, and they were gobbling back to him, like, immediately, no doubt, answering his call. And I was like, dang, man, wait, like, we got a good chance here. But as soon as they answered him, another hen starts piping up.
Yeah.
And then they start responding to her. Well, then you could tell just this whole group of turkeys met up, fought, and then split back up. And then the group of turkeys that got the hens went away from us. And don't get me wrong, I think if you're the type of character that can sit there all day,
yeah,
probably a good thing to stay set up like that. But between me and those two boys, we ain't sitting.
No, nobody's sitting very long anywhere.
No. And we ended up getting up and moving, but I guess my point with that is we were right on top of those things. It felt like you really couldn't get much closer. We're also talking about super open creek bottom. This isn't like an area that there's a lot of thick stuff between us and the turkeys, so we didn't have a lot of options to move.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking to myself, man, just that little piece of terrain, as soon as it started getting to that point where it's like they're worried about the other turkeys, not us.
Yeah.
I think I might have just started moving up. Mm-hmm. Even if it meant crawling. I mean, I was showing you my crawl with my gun the other day. It's like, that's the type of stuff that I feel like, especially early, when they're not necessarily coming from 200 yards away to your call,
mm-hmm.
those are the type of things that I feel like I like to do early, especially when you're chipping away with these little leads. I'm not necessarily playing it safe on, you know, when I've spent a morning listening to them, a morning scouting, an afternoon setup on it, just to hear a turkey fly up, and then that next morning I'm in there and I hear a turkey gobble and 100 yards away, it's like, okay, let's close this distance fast, as much as we can. I mean, you're not always going to be able to get 70 yards from them, but if you can, try that. That's my belief, or at least my style, you know. The other style is, if you got all morning and you know where they're hanging out, like, just hang loose in there.
Yeah, just get in there and hang out with them.
Which I think is also a great option, but I just struggle with that because I think in the morning I'm higher energy, I suppose. Like, you just wake up, get some coffee in you, and next thing you know, you're just like, let's go, 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 go. And so, back to what I was saying earlier, I have an easier time, personally, just hanging out later in the day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I gotta pick this booger. I hope I get it. I don't think so. Felt like a sharp one.
Good work. Another thing that I feel like I really want to put an emphasis on for this next leg of the turkey tour here is our hide. Early in the season like this, you always have to have that one quick reminder that it's like, you can't slack on the setup or you're going to pay for it, because I said earlier that we had ended up having a good hunt this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we moved up on these turkeys. The bird gobbled on the roost, and then we moved in that direction, and I don't know that we heard that bird again or if it was a different one, but we made a pretty good move down a logging road, and then we were sitting here listening, and a bird gobbled down there. He gobbled like 3 or 4 times once we heard him, and it was like, ooh, this is a pretty good time to be within striking distance. So we slid down in there, and we were in the pine stand that was just old enough that there was really not much growing underneath anymore. There would be these little patches of privet, I think is what it was, kind of growing up through, but that was about it. And again, private land, so we could cut stuff, but the trees weren't very big. None of them were still big enough to necessarily hide a full body on.
Yeah.
And the turkey gobbles, and he's like, pretty close, like maybe a couple hundred, maybe a little less. And he starts kind of going off on everything. Like, crow flies over, he's gonna gobble. Woodpecker sounds off, he's gobbling. And we set up on a small tree, but we snipped off some stuff that we could put around us and found a dead pine branch, which was pretty good cover. But all we had was front cover. The turkeys were directly in front of us, so when we set up and called, I felt pretty good about it because we called and he hammered and then other birds started gobbling. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, we're really in the game. So they kind of go back and forth, and he's responding to all our calls, and then he gobbles one more time on his own, and it's like, that's probably closer. So we just all locked in. Luke was on gun. He's the 9-year-old. Josh, our buddy, who is our buddy Thrash, was on was on guide for Luke, and then I was just sitting back there filming the whole thing go down. And we were all totally focused ahead where we figured this turkey was going to come up, and there was actually two trails that were old log trails that met right in front of us. It's like, oh, this is picture perfect. And he last gobbled right between those two trails. But off to our right, there was just a little roll in the hill. And all of a sudden, Thrash goes, nope, he's passing us to the right. He's to our hard right. And I had the camera up like this and was kind of blocking my peripheral, so I had to kind of slowly look over. And I just barely caught him slipping past to our hard right. And it's on the weak side. I mean, especially for a kid, that's a really tough move. Even for me, who was facing more that way than those two, it would have been too tough. And they just kind of skirted us and I think got just enough on our weak side of our setup that they could see the silhouette. And when I say see the silhouette, it's not like we're getting skylined, but early in the season, there's very little, you know, understory, and especially when you're in a pine stand like that. And those pine stands are really, really tough unless you have a turkey just head on to get hidden in. Even if you can brush yourself in, it's odd when something has brush underneath of it. So moving forward, I just really don't want to slack on that. I did that in 2022 with Ted and Jake. We kind of half-assed a setup, and this pair of toms with a hen came in. They jumped up on a log, and they saw us sitting there. And it was like, man. And after the fact, I looked over, and it's like, if we'd have just sat right there.
Yeah.
But instead, we just kind of didn't take it seriously enough. And it's like, if you have the time, and you know that turkey's gobbling, and you're already moving around looking for a setup, well, take the time to really think that through and really make sure you're picking the right spot. Not just that he won't see you from one direction, but where he might circle in. And try to think too, if he's gonna kind of come in and periscope you, where's your spot that he may do that?
Uh-huh.
And there it was, obviously, after the fact, Thrash and I were talking, it's like, maybe next time you focus more on that, because they're gonna do that. That's their defense, is looking like that. So
yeah,
should have put more emphasis on the setup. What we could have done is called from that spot and then moved to a setup where we could still shoot up here where we called from,
yeah,
but also shoot in case they wrapped around the low side of the hill. And had we done that, we'd have had them, even if they'd have came straight to us, we'd have still had them at 20 yards. But the way they came, we would have had them at 20 yards as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like as you get later into the season, you've had those errors happen to you, so you don't make them anymore. But it's like every year, man, it happens a little bit early,
yeah,
and then you gotta like check yourself.
Yeah, I got to get those early season jitters off.
Mm-hmm. Just like go right into it thinking, we got to take this super seriously, especially things like the setup and just making sure you're good, because they're going to come in looking. Like, that's just...
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to do. Like what you're saying, it's to get into that mindset to be like... I mean, we're always taking it serious, like going into, we're never like not trying to kill the turkey.
Right.
But getting into that mindset early on of having those past experiences like fresh on your mind, where that's really going into your decision making, is hard to do. So like I talked to you about it and Ted, that first morning I went out, like I was like, the night before I was laying there, I was like, dang, I'm turkey hunting in the morning. Like, didn't even feel like it. Like deer season was just here. And it ended, and we went straight to NWTF, and then came here, and I was like, dang, how am I already turkey hunting? So then the next morning, me and Reed are out there, and I made just a classic mistake. Like, we go out, new property or new area to me, I don't really know the lay of the land. So turkeys gobbling on the limb really good, and other turkeys are all gobbling elsewhere, but this one particular bird is a lot closer. And we're moving in, and like, just like an idiot, I mean, I know this turkey, he's on the limb and he's got to be no more than 150 yards away, but what's between me and him is about a 70 yard wide orchard that is wide open, and it's plenty legal light right now, so he can see perfect. There's no leaves on the trees. Like, if there's leaves on the trees, it wouldn't have been a problem at all, because he wouldn't have been able to see
me. Yeah.
But just looking, I was like, ah, we really got no other chance. We'll just go across. Went straight across. Turkey saw us. I know he did. He never gobbled again. It's like, that was just the dumbest bonehead move. And I just willingly did it on day one, just like, ah.
Hey, let's mess this up.
Let's see if they're any more blind this year than they were last year. It was dumb.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt like I was in such a fog in my head of, like, what to do. It's like I haven't been turkey hunting for, I don't know, how old am I? 28, 25 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I haven't been actively doing this for a long time. And just, I might as well walk in there backwards and blindfolded.
With your ears plugged.
Yeah. Like, it was so dumb. And then after it, like, when we walked across there and we're sitting there, I was like, what an idiot. Like, I can't believe I just did that. But, you know, got to get it out of my system now.
Yeah. And I feel like one of the things that I do before the season, I always want to go back and watch videos, or whether they're ours or somebody else's, I want to watch the good ones.
Yeah.
But you really should be going back and watching the bad ones. And
you should,
and like go back and, you know, look at your own experiences and say, man, that one year when I really focused on that, things went really well for me. I need to make sure that's on top of my tool bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then these three or four things are things that I generally mess up early. I need to really focus on those this year going into it. And I feel that that's something I don't always do a good job of, but there's a couple. The 2020 season, I kind of feel similar to this one, where I was like, I just went into it and I was like, and I filmed some before too, so I really was just like, kind of drooling. It's like, all right, we're gonna go kill. And we just did, Keith and I were hunting together, and we just did a lot of things really clean early.
Mm-hmm.
But 2022, the whole Mississippi trip, I look back on that one and I was like, ooh, we went into that a little bit careless, and we didn't really think about those things. We just thought, oh, we know what we're doing. And like, yeah, sure, we do know what we're doing, and we still got turkeys. We had great hunts that season, but that whole Mississippi trip, I kind of remember leaving it and being like, ooh, we really didn't do very well there. Like, that was kind of ugly, and I'm kind of embarrassed that we got so laid back on it.
Uh-huh.
Truthfully, like, there were a couple mistakes there that I'm just like, that was so stupid. Why did we do that? That was in the bag, and we'd spent the one that I mentioned it while we were recording, the set, it was the one where we didn't have a good enough cover.
Uh-huh.
And the turkey jumps up on the log, sees us. We had put in so much time and effort into that up to that point, just to blow it by not setting up and even thinking it through. Mm-hmm. Had we just looked over at a tree 5 yards away, we would have set up there and had some vegetation growing up in front of the tree that would have broke up our outline. And I guess back to that part, maybe for a reminder for myself as much as anyone listening, like, what I really am looking for these days is either A, something that I can grab and put where I want it to be, like a dead pine branch that has a bunch of leaves, or maybe a fresh oak branch just dropped and it's already budded out or whatever, and you can pick that up and move it. Because again, assuming you're on public land or you're not able to cut things.
Yeah.
Or logs or whatever, anything that I can do to pick up and move it, or just look through the woods and look for that one tree that has, they all have vertical cover, but if it has something at the base of it that just breaks it up from the monotony of all the same look at the base of the tree, that's the one you want to go to, even if it's not maybe necessarily exactly where you think the turkey's going to be. Maybe that's a situation where you walk over to the setup, you check it out, you make sure it's good, you sit in there and you look and see your shooting lanes, and then you walk up there, call, drop back to that spot, and then be patient to try to bring him, you know, place him essentially within shooting range of the setup that's good. Where I think when it's easy, man, it's easy. Like, the turkey's hammering, coming right at you, gobbling the whole way. I mean, if the tree is as wide as your shoulders, as long as you're square to it, you can pull that off, and we have pulled that off. But if they're gobbling infrequently and they're having a tendency to come in quiet, son, you better make sure that setup's good, yep. Or they're gonna bust you. Like, almost 100% of the time, like, they are better than you because their head's, yes, like this big, yeah, and they know how to use that thing, you know? They know how to get down in the timber and even just peek through the trees. Like, yeah, I know where that came from, where you at? And they're looking for an actual hen.
Yeah.
And, like, I would assume that, you know, a lot of people listening to this type of podcast are like us, and they're, you know, running and gunning, hunting public land, not using decoys. If that's the case, man, they're looking for you then.
Yeah. Like, and they're looking hard.
Yeah. And they're good at it.
So it's like, I feel like this happens to me every year. And it's kind of just backtracking on what we were just saying. But the other morning, me and Reed, it's like I went into that and made this boneheaded decision. But I remember feeling, once the turkeys gobbled, and we're like, okay, we're going to go after those. I remember feeling the sense of anxiety then that I get every year, those first, like, hunt or two of, like, I have this decision-making on my shoulders now. And I'm like, it's like my chest gets tight, and I'm like, do we go down there? Do I walk this path? If I do, I could mess it up. Oh, no, I don't want to mess it up. There's no more turkeys to chase, but that's a lie. There's more. But I don't know. I don't want to mess it up. And I get so just amped up and freaked out in the moment that if you're not buttoned in, you know, you're going to make a boneheaded decision, like walking across an open orchard 100 yards away from a turkey that is 30 foot up in a tree, yeah, that can see you. Probably saw you 200 yards ago.
Right.
But it's like I've caught myself in that moment. And it's like, I recognized it, but I didn't do anything to fix it until the next day. I was like, okay, it's turkey season. It's okay. Yeah. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
Just.
That's something that we actually talked about, a day or two ago in the driveway.
Yeah.
Is trying to eliminate that sense of panic or anxiety or, you know, whatever feeling that is something that is hard to do.
Yeah.
And I guess when we were early in the podcast talking about hunting with youth hunters, this is one of the things that is really fun for me to watch, is they have no control over that panic, which they shouldn't. It's good. Like, you want them to have it. I think it's kind of the hook. And you want to have it too, but you want to harness it, and you want to have control over it. Mm-hmm. Like, my heart rate is still through the roof. When I'm calming myself down, I'm not saying that I'm just like, just a turkey, like, it doesn't, you know, I'm not even amped up. Like, I'm not saying that. My heart's through the roof. It's the actions I take to have control over my panic or anxiety in the moment. You're more likely to make the shift in a calm manner and not get your vest hung up on the briars and make a bunch of noise, or, you know, pull on a tree that shakes the tree above you and spooks the turkey that's over the ridge, or clank your box call and on your gun and make an unnatural noise, and then he never gobbles again. Like, whatever those things may be, there's an endless list of things, but just trying to stay calm in the moment, move slow, don't panic, know that scratching is your friend, staying low is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Doing those things is really, really helpful. And, like, here's an example of what I mean. Let's say, take that same exact situation that we had this morning, where the turkeys come from our right, but let's say they gobble one last time, but they're just out of sight, 40 yards away, but way to our hard right, which for right-handed shooters, obviously your weak side. It's harder to shoot that way and turn that way than it is to your hard left. If that's the case, rather than panic, freeze is number one, or wait too long and then try to swing right when you see him, I guess that would be option two, is if you can control yourself in that moment, there's gonna be that rush of like, oh no, oh no, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Harness that and, like, okay, I gotta make this move now, but do it slow. And maybe if you're gonna make noise, you know you're gonna make noise, scratch to cover yourself, and then get ready on that spot. Because it's like, if you wait
3 seconds, it's probably too late. And I feel like those are the types of things that, you know, just you get more and more under your belt, you get a little bit better at that every time. And I'm not saying that I'm not gonna mess one up tomorrow morning by panicking. There's a good chance. Another good example of that is standing there, haven't heard a turkey in days, and all of a sudden you call and one gobbles 50 yards out of sight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Panic.
Yeah, panic. Oh, I didn't do what I should have been doing and pick my tree beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, first thing, get low. Other thing is, make sure you use your scratching. That's covering your sound. And then just like get to a spot calmly. Because if you go crashing and diving into a tree, I've never had that work. You know, like it's only the times where I really calmly harness that panic and just say, okay, like I gotta do this calmly because if I do it too fast, I'm gonna mess it up.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's easier said than done, but trying to just keep that in mind going into this season. If you're thinking to yourself listening to this, man, I do have a tendency to panic, just think, hey, the next hour is a whole nother opportunity. Like even if you do blow this one, you will get another chance. I promise. If you're gonna keep turkey hunting, you're gonna get another chance. I think sometimes we just build up the turkey season for so long in our head and we're so excited about it that all of a sudden that gobble that freaks you out, he's too close, happens and you're just like, oh no, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? And you freak out and you ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe next time try not to freak out and, you know, you never know, it might just work. And a lot of times I found that it just does.
Yeah.
You know, but it took a long time to be able to even come close to doing that. And I still don't do it every time, you know?
Yeah, I know, like, that panic when you're talking about days. You've gone days of you're not finding any sign, you're not hearing anything, and then, boom, he gobbles right there. Like, I guess, did you hear that list? I guess. I guess my panic derives from, like you just went through that, which seems like an eternity of just not finding anything, and it feels like you're not gonna find one of all that, and then you're like, I don't want to go through that again because if I mess this up, it's gonna be that again, which that's not true. It might not be that way. You might mess this one up and then 30 minutes you might find a different one.
Yeah.
You know? But I just like all that turkey trauma comes right into my head and then I'm like, don't mess it up, and then there you go, he's running away.
Yeah.
But
mostly, it's like almost like every time you do mess it up is because in those moments, those panic type moments, is because you are panicking. At least I think that for myself. It's like, yeah, you definitely messed that one up because you were freaking out, dude. You should have just calmed yourself down and you'd have probably been fine. But I guess one last thing that is on that note of the panic, don't be afraid to think backwards rather than forwards. I think as like hunters and callers and guys that are going, like I feel the same way about elk. When you're calling to something and it's responding with a gobble or a bugle, like your tendency is to go towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when these surprise gobbles happen to us, especially early in the season, let's say it's close and it's a surprise gobble, like real close. Well, if you go 5 yards forward of that tree, you're getting real, real close. Where if instead you maybe look backwards and go back, maybe buy yourself a few extra seconds or maybe 30 seconds, maybe longer, maybe less. But if you're going backwards, you're at least going away from that. Like, he's still probably coming up there.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think that that's something that's definitely something that's newer to me. Like a newer thought is, hey, focus on going back rather than forward all the time.
That's a good thought, because I don't think I've ever just distinguished that to myself and said, you know what, let's just go maybe first step, like it's a fly ball, first 2 steps back instead of running forward and getting the ball, you know, it sails over your head and then there you are, you know, staring at your shoelaces.
Being the worst player on the team.
Everybody hates you, you know. First two, he gobbles and surprises you, first 2 steps back and then say, okay, now what?
Yep.
That's good mentality there.
The other nice thing about looking back is you get to actually look at the setup from their perspective, assuming they're coming in straight through where you're at there. I think that is just something that is also a benefit to thinking move away rather than forward. Because, again, it's like if he's already in that, if you're already in his bubble, it probably doesn't really matter that much if you're where you're at currently or 10 yards back or maybe even like 40, 50 yards back. Like if he just responded and he's already that close, probably a dang good chance he's coming up there to check you out at some point. So you may, I mean, there's a lot of situations where, you know, we've all experienced a turkey that's hung up just out of sight or range. Well, if that's the case with this particular turkey that just surprised you, I mean, what, you know, you're only buying yourself more time by going back a little bit, which may allow you to get in that setup and get comfortable. But this has kind of shifted into the getting the funk out type podcast.
Yeah. Shake the funk. Yeah. Gotta shake it.
Yeah. Even though we made it about halfway through and had a really tough mental block there.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the worst of THP podcast history.
Like,
I'm pretty sure we talked about being at the dentist.
let me take a pause, pick my nose, show the camera a booger. Let's talk about the dentist. I think I have a cavity. Oh, yeah. Good topic. Let's shake the funk.
Cool. Well, I think with that, we wrap it up because it's also getting dark, so it's probably getting kind of weird to see us in here. But
yeah, probably.
Appreciate everybody watching, listening, and we're going hunting in the morning, and it's starting to get pretty serious because we're getting pretty close to where we're going.
Yes, we are. I need to start checking the map.
Alrighty. Later on, everybody.